85. The message today is forgiveness and follow. Psalm 85, and look at verse 8. We're going to read several portions, one from the Old Testament, then the New. But I mentioned forgiveness and folly. This is this verse. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. He's going to speak peace, forgiveness, but let them not turn again to folly. Now, John chapter 5 in the New Testament. In brief, here is a certain place in Jerusalem that has five porches filled with all sorts of sick people. They're blind and halt. They are infirm. They're lame. All sorts of sicknesses abide. Now, verse 5. And there was a certain man there who had been 38 years in his infirmity. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, would you be made whole? And the man said, I want to, but nobody is here to take care of me. And the Lord Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Verse 9. And straightway the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. Now, John 8. This is that familiar story about the woman taken in adultery. Verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees bring a woman taken in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they tell the Lord Jesus, this woman's been taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses commanded us to stone her. What do you say? Verse 6. And this they said, trying him, that they might have whereof to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground. And they, when they heard it, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman where she was in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and said unto her, woman, where are they? Did no man accuse thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. From henceforth, sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. From henceforth, sin no more. Now, let's look at Romans 6. If you can simply remember the scriptures that I read to you today, the time will have been profitably spent. But Romans 6. Remember now, the title of the message is Forgiveness and Folly. 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. The last scripture in 1 Peter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that ye no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are so thankful for your eye that searches the hearts of men. Let us know that we think we know ourselves, but alas, our God, as Peter was determined to go to prison and die before he would deny you, Lord Jesus, he found out that there was more weakness and sin in him than even he could take for granted. And so for that reason, our God, we are thankful that your eye searches our hearts and tells us that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Only you can know it. But having been warned about it, our God, then we can be prepared to escape the treacherous ways that are in it, into which we shall fall if we take not heed to your warning. And that is what we desire to do this morning, our God, to heed the warning that you give us. So from these scriptures that we have read, our God, may they be put together by thy Spirit and understood, and let us have the mind of Christ, and let us not turn again to folly. You know our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And our Father, how futile it would be for a man to speak of himself and try to accomplish anything in the hearts of men. So you must empower lips, and you must prepare hearts, or all will be in vain. And so we cast this meeting upon you. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 85, verse 8, contains a remarkable verse. This is what it says. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again unto folly. It's a good thing when you can listen to the voice of God. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. What are you going to say to me, Lord? And God says, peace. Peace. Everybody would want to hear that. That's a beautiful word to hear spoken by God to our hearts. Peace. But this God who speaks peace to our hearts knows our hearts so well that immediately the warning is given. Turn not again to folly. You say, well, how could a man do such a thing? A man having come at peace with God, and God has brought peace to his soul, how could he ever turn again to folly? Now, this is an exceptional thing. It's such a rare teaching of Scripture. Why, I've never heard it before. Why do you think I read to you five Scriptures? They all say the same thing. You say, what do you mean? Forgiveness and folly. I did not say the message is folly and forgiveness, but forgiveness and folly. Because all of our lives have been folly. And if we are saved, forgiveness. But our lives are not to be forgiveness and folly, but that you might see that God, having spoken this word in Psalm 85, is not speaking it as a rare, exceptional thing. Think, as I go over these scriptures with you, how often it recurs in the New Testament as well as the Old. Listen, the Lord Jesus healed the man in John chapter 5, and he said to him the next time he saw him, "You are made whole. Sin no more." You say, isn't that remarkable? He healed him, and he said, "Sin no more." Yes. What did he say in Psalm 85? "Peace, turn not again to folly." What did he say in John 5? "Help, sin no more, turn not again to folly." John 8. In brief, the Lord said to this woman that was taken in adultery, "Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. Sin no more." You see, he told her the same thing. He said, "I'm not condemning you, but sin no more." I see. Peace. No condemnation. Healing. And immediately, sin no more. Do not return to folly. Well, this is remarkable, isn't it? Well, certainly, you cannot give me any more illustrations. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here is a man that has experienced the grace of God. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. What's it saying? The grace of God. Do not return to folly. 1 Peter chapter 4. He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And it says this, that you should no longer spend the rest of your time to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You say, every verse that you have brought to our attention contains the same lesson. Well then, what do you think God wants his people to know for certain? That, having experienced his goodness and mercy and compassion, there is ever that great danger of returning again to folly. You should know all about it. You do it all the time. Tell me any man who, having experienced the forgiveness of God, has never slipped and returned to folly. You say, I've heard some say that their sin is perfect, but the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So there is ever that danger, even if we have had our sins forgiven, of returning unto folly. And our Lord would reduce the joy that is in our heart of knowing that we have experienced forgiveness of sin by doing this, saying to us, "You are made whole. Sin no more. I'm not condemning you. Sin no more." The same lesson that is brought to our attention 5 times is this. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There is mercy with the Lord. That's the first lesson that's contained. In all of these passages, shall we continue in sin? You see, sin is what they have experienced. Forgiveness, but then there is the danger of folly. Let them not turn again to folly. And that is why I said the message is forgiveness and folly. Because there is no such thing as no folly that does not need forgiveness. Folly and forgiveness is our past. This is what it says in Titus chapter 3. It said, we also were once foolish, deceived, led astray, disobedient to God. That's what we were in the past. We also, not only the world, we also, we were foolish, disobedient, filled with hatred and enmity. You see, that's what we were. That is folly. But it says, but when the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness of God came, not by works of righteousness which we did, but according to his mercy he saved us. So at first it was folly, sin, disobedience, but then mercy came, forgiveness. And so now the order is this. Having been forgiven, let us not return to folly. I know where you were when God saved you. You were in folly. But God forgave you. And it says, God has spoken peace. He says, now, do not return to folly. Some people who are unsaved have never left their folly. And so God does not say to them, do not return to folly. Their whole life is folly. They're living a life in the lust of the flesh. So God does not say, do not return to folly. But for us who have been forgiven, peace has been spoken to our hearts, and God says to us, return not to folly. So that's the danger today. The first message that is contained in all of these verses is that there is mercy and forgiveness with the Lord. That's a great thing. The greatest thing that we can hear from God is, speak to me. And God says, peace. When the storm was raging on the sea, the Lord Jesus said, peace, be still. And we who were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, when we were at enmity with God, when we were doomed for dismissal from the presence of God, God spoke peace to our heart. And then, having spoken peace, in the next breath, he says, return not to folly. So we can be sure that there is forgiveness, even though our past lives have been folly. But this is the danger, that having experienced the peace, the forgiveness of God, that we can turn again to folly. And God knows it. And he would warn you. Because there is the tendency, even after you are saved, to go back into the past, into the condemnation, into the misery that you were experiencing before you were saved. You say, how could anyone be so foolish? I ask yourself, how many times have you returned and done those things that brought sorrow to your heart? And this is what God tells you. All right. The next lesson is this. Not only the possibility of those who have been forgiven of returning unto folly, but the lesson is this, that God does not want us to return to folly. He wants us to walk in newness of life, and that is partly why I spoke the message to you today. Thank God, as for our past, it has been for given, and a new year is coming up. What are we going to do? Well, instead of returning to all of those follies as we have in this past year, why cannot we, since we died with Christ, since we have been raised with Christ, why can we not walk in newness of life? Why must God continually say to us, you've gone back again to folly? Why not, having been forgiven, having been delivered from this folly, Why can we not walk in newness of life? If we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, why can we not consistently walk in newness of life as new creatures in Christ Jesus? God tells us that He wants us to walk in newness of life. And He tells us this. He does not want us in this new condition of life to even commit one sin. Suppose you went into God's presence and said to Him, "Now, God, that I've been forgiven, how many sins am I going to be allowed to commit now that I've been forgiven?" God will tell us, "You will be allowed to commit no sin." You understand that? If you commit them, it's in violation of what God allows. God allows no sin. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 2. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." God allows no sin. He warns us about return to sin. He knows the tendency. But if we return to sin, God does not say, "What? I allowed him to go back and indulge in the lusts of the flesh. I allowed that." How many of you have ever been given permission by God to go back into sin once He forgave you? Not one of us. But how many of us have returned to folly? All of us. But God did not allow it, and God does not want it. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin." He doesn't want us to commit even one sin. But I thank God for this. If any man does fall into sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's a consolation if we do get into sin. But the danger is this: the perversion of the truth that we have eternal life and we shall never perish, that we have experienced the grace of God, salvation is by grace through faith, without works. Satan will put in your mind, "Well then, continue in sin that grace may abound. Don't you understand that you can never be lost? Sin, do the things that please you. Continue in sin, grace shall abound." Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! And so, that should be enough. "Lord, may I continue in sin?" God says, "I forbid it." God hates the thought of our continuing in sin. God forbid. But if we do, He says, "I have an advocate, my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is righteous." Then the next thought is this: well, I should not commit sin, continue in it. But if I do, I have an advocate with the Father, and He will forgive me. And I can never experience hell. Everything that I've told you is true. Everything. You are never going to hell if your sins have been forgiven. But listen to what Christ said, and I want you to take this to heart. Because when Satan puts all of these subtle reasonings in your mind, leading to the conclusion, "Well, I should not sin. God does not allow it. But I'm going to do it anyway because there are the pleasures of sin." When that thought comes in your mind, I want you to take to heart what Christ said to the man who had experienced His healing power in John 5. The man who found it impossible to ever get his sickness dealt with. Why? He said, "Well, every time the pool is agitated, before I can get down to the pool," he said, "another man steps in before me and he gets the blessing and I'm left out." And the Lord Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And he who found it impossible to do that before, once Christ spoke to him, took up his bed and walked. Now, this is one of the glorious examples in Scripture of what should happen to a man once he has been blessed of the Savior. It says that when Jesus saw him the first time, he was hopeless. He had no strength. It said Jesus found him the next time in the temple. That is one of the most glorious examples in the Bible. If I'm helpless and have no strength, yes, find me as close as I can to a place of healing, but I have no strength to get into that place of healing. But what happens when God gives the man strength? It says the next time Jesus found him, he used what strength he had given him to go to the temple of God. Now that is the glorious example that God wants for us. We have to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And I'm thinking of one even now that I know in a distant place. And he was made a helpless cripple. And God has now enabled him through operations, through therapy, to get around. At first in a wheelchair and now with support. But this is the question. Now that you have that strength back, are you going to use that strength to go to the house of God, to be with God's people, to fellowship with God's people? Or are you going to use that strength that God has given you again to continue in the lust of the flesh? And so that is what is so pitiful, that we who have no strength, and then God gives us strength, and we say, thank you, Lord, for that strength, and we return to the vomit as the dog did, to our wallowing as the sow did. That is the most pitiful thing that can ever happen to a child of God. This man, Christ had given him strength. What did he do with the strength? He went to the temple of God. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If we have strength, let us drag ourselves out with that strength. The man had a little strength to get to that pool. Why? Because I want to be healed. Well, with what strength we have left, let us bring ourselves to the temple of God, to the people of God. That is what our Savior said. Now, this is the next lesson, and be afraid. Satan has put in your mind, I'm never going to be lost. I assure you that you have eternal life, you're in Christ's hand, and nobody can pluck you out of Christ's hand. You say, that's all I want to hear, then I'll live as I please. Listen to what Christ said to this man in John 5. He said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. Take that to heart. You understand? But Jesus, who gave me strength and healed me, why, he would never let anything like that happen to me again. Not only would he let something like that happen to you again, he would bring upon you something worse than happened to you before. Will you take that lesson to heart? It said this man had been in this helpless condition 38 years, and it had been brought upon him because of sin. The Savior said, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. Will you take that message to heart? No, you will never go to hell. But I've been telling you from what God tells us in 2 Peter 2 that there is such a thing as hell on earth. You say, what do you mean hell on earth? I told you that the very word that is used of a carnal Christian a lot is the very word torment that is used of those souls that are going to be in the lake of fire. The smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And the Lord Jesus said this to the man who had received his blessing. He said, sin no more. Thank you for giving me that warning, Lord. He said, because if you do, it may turn out that you'll have more suffering than you had in the first place. Sin no more, lest the worst thing befall thee. Now that is enough to bring any of us to our senses, and whereas it should be that the love of Christ constrains us to refrain from sin, if that will not constrain us, the fear of something worse happening to me than I experienced in my past life That should shake me and bring me to my senses and cause me no longer to continue in sin. And if that will not do it, then what will happen is that this man who was bad off before Christ came to him will be worse off after he turns again to his folly. That is why God says in Psalm 85, "Let me hear your voice, O God. I will hear what God the Lord will speak unto me." What will he say? And God will say, "Peace." And having said that, let them return not again unto folly. Why? Because a worse thing can happen unto you. Understand this, that in John 8, you realize that when these hypocrites brought that woman taken in adultery to the Lord, they said, "The law said to stone her." Do you know what Jesus said? He said, "Stone her." You say, "He didn't say stone her." Oh, yes, he did. He said, "That him that is about sin among you, first cast a stone at her." He said, "Stone her." He said, "Now, the one that is without sin among you, let him stone her." And all of them were hypocrites. Because this is what it says in the book of Hosea. And this is why Jesus did not have her stoned at that time. At another time, he would have had her stoned. It says in the book of Hosea, he said, "When your bride and when your daughters commit sexual sin," he said, "I'm not going to punish them because you men go out with prostitutes and harlots." He said, "I'm not going to judge your wives when you, the men, do the same thing, the brides and your daughters." And here are these hypocrites that are bringing this woman taken in adultery, and they are guilty of the same thing. And they are willing to let him stone her. But the Savior says, "You, not you who are sinlessly perfect, but you who have not committed this sin, you first cast the stone at her." And thank God there was enough sensitivity still in their conscience for them to not pick up a stone, but to go out in humiliation. And that's why that woman did not receive stoning as she should have according to Deuteronomy chapter 22. It says she should be stoned. And had there been a person, and you remember this, had Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, been there, he could have picked up a stone and dashed that woman's brains out. Why? Because Phinehas was about sin. And Phinehas, you may read it in the book of Numbers, when this sexual immorality was going on, he took a spear and plunged it through the man and the woman that were committing that sin. And God said, "It delighted my heart." You remember that. All of you who think that adultery, why, this woman is committed, Jesus forgave her. Why will you not understand the next word that Jesus said to her, having forgiven her? He said, "I do not condemn you. Go your way. Sin no more." And people are saying this, "Well, since Jesus did not commit adultery, why, we can go and commit all the adultery that we want to." The Lord Jesus said, "Sin no more." Why? Because if the Lord in his goodness has not crushed you completely because of a sexual sin, he does not say, "I did not condemn you. Well then, since you did not this time, I will go and do it again and again." The Savior said in John 5, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee." The reason that he did not have that woman stoned, because there was no one worthy to stone her. And he said to her, "You are let off this time, but sin no more." And there are those today who say, "Oh yes, Jesus forgave adultery." Right. And then he said, "Sin no more." As if I had committed adultery, and Jesus said, "I'm not going to condemn you. Thank you, Lord." And so that gives him permission to go and to continue to commit adultery the rest of my life. You say, "That's folly." Well, of course it's folly in my thinking. If God in his goodness forgives that adultery, it does not mean that I am permitted the rest of my life to commit adultery. And yet some say, "You may do that if you get a divorce and remarry, even though it's adultery. Forgive." The Lord Jesus said, "Continue not in sin. Go thy way. Sin no more." The man who was healed of his infirmity, he said, "Sin no more." the woman who was not condemned for her adultery, he said, sin no more. The Israelites who had then spoken peace to their hearts, he said, return not again to folly. And that is the message of God. There is mercy, yes, but turn again to folly, and you may experience something happening to you that was worse than what you experienced before. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He will speak peace to his people, but let us not return again to folly. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for your forbearance, your goodness, your long-suffering. Our God, we may not have been aware of it before, but we are now. Have forgiven us once. Yes, we are rejoicing that we'll never experience the lake of fire. But you have told us that worse things can happen to us in this life than we ever experienced before. So we thank you that we have heard you speak peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our peace. We pray, Father, that we shall not turn to folly and hear you say that a greater thing come upon him than there was upon him before. Speak peace to your children and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.